This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Wednesday morning in the break. We're watching just classic rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
58 degrees right now, a little bit drizzly, depending on where you are, but the rain should stop between 8 and 9 this morning.
Yeah.
You're looking at a high of 65, and it feels like fall. It's going to keep feeling like fall. This weekend, if you're going to go do the apple, pumpkin, whatever thing.
Let's get it on.
I mean, it might be the one. Sunny and 66 is probably your sweet spot.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that pumpkin, apple, donut farm, it's very small town America.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that America?
Ain't that America, son.
And last night, I got a little taste of small town America.
Where'd you go?
Well, my daughter, she plays tennis,
my youngest
one, right? So they had a game in Seneca Falls at Minders Academy.
I love small town tennis. If they had a small town tennis channel, that's all I'd watch.
So it turns out I was trying to...
So this is a school we've never heard of.
Well, so it turns out that the Seneca Falls School District, I guess, named their high school Minders Academy.
Yeah, because when you first said it, we thought it was a town that we had never heard of.
Yes, because I had heard the school before. I just assumed it was a small town. No, and
so it's like named after some dude?
I don't even know if I'm saying it the right way, and I don't know who it's named after. It's just
probably some colonel.
Colonel Minders?
Yeah, you know, revolutionary guy or something.
Okay, so I go out to Seneca Falls, mm-hmm. and I've driven through Seneca Falls before, but I've never really spent a lot of time in Seneca Falls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those places, it's like, oh, history here, suffrage, wasn't that the setting for It's a Wonderful Life also?
They claim they used that bridge
okay.
in that scene.
So that being said, mm-hmm. my daughter and her partner, they play doubles. They won their match quick, which is awesome, but I got to hang out for like another hour and a half because the rest of the girls have to finish up. So,
you can't split till they're all
well,
done.
Well,
you
you got to be supportive.
Yeah, I want to watch.
Support our team.
I say it like that, is to creep out the rest of the girls on the tennis team. But I've been up since 2:30 and I got to drive another hour home, so I got to go find some caffeine. Right?
All right,
so I pull out and I'm driving through the back streets of small town Seneca Falls. And I'm noticing something.
Mm.
I'm taking it all in because it's like, you know, speed limit's like 7 miles an hour. Just families out walking.
Yeah.
Right? Like 6:30, 7 o'clock at
night. Oh, taking that after dinner walk.
You got it. And not only are they walking, Tommy, but when one family comes upon another family, they stop and they smile and they exchange pleasantries. And not just a, hey, how you doing? Like they're stopping mm-hmm. and they're talking. And I'm seeing this over and over again as I'm going down this long street that goes like to the center of town from Minders High School.
Well, I think that's what you're supposed to do when you mosey.
Is that what they were doing?
When you mosey. Well, you slow walking in the country, it's called moseying.
Okay.
And when you come across other people, you got to like stop.
Give them a nod.
And greet.
Gotcha. So I'm seeing this on my drive into the center of town there. And I'm like, you know what? This is really nice.
It's quaint.
Like, yeah, the homes are, they're beautiful and they're all close together. And everyone has a smile on their face. And like, there's a sense of community. Right. And I'm like, wow, this is, I think I could live in a small town.
All right.
So I go and I find a place and I get my Diet Coke. And I'm going to drive back towards the school, right? And once again, as I'm doing my 7 miles an hour, I see the exact same thing, but with different people. It's like everybody in this town has decided we're going to be social and together as a community. There'll be this quilt thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Okay, but here's the thing. Mm. For some reason, seeing it back again, I started like, wow, they're all spending a lot of time talking to each other.
Right.
Like, this wasn't planned.
Right.
You weren't like going over to Dan's house to like have a hangout. Like this popped up.
So you're just being friendly.
Yeah, but like I was
just
like
part of their day.
But that's just it though. Yeah. Like if I'm gonna, you know, if I got something, if I'm going out for a walk or whatever, right? Like I don't want to spend an extra 45 minutes like talking to every person I come across.
I want to talk to you.
No, I don't.
I got moseying to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to mosey here.
So mosey, like, don't mosey by itself.
Move on.
So, like, on the way back, like, yeah. This looks miserable. Sucks. This sucks so hard. And I can't figure out if I would love living in a small town or hate living in a small town. Because the walkability of Seneca Falls was awesome. Mm-hmm. And the smiles on everybody's faces.
Seems like everybody enjoyed living there.
It looked great. But at the same time, one, the time you would lose having to be social with everybody would drive me nuts. Two, I get the impression based on how everyone was talking that everyone not only knows everybody, but everyone knows everybody's business.
And that's kind of what they always tell you, right? Okay. Everybody knows everybody's business.
And I wouldn't want any part of that. Like, that seems like it would complicate
things.
Well,
think about it. So when this country formed, we had 13 colonies, right?
And thank you, Professor Mueller.
And it was just a bunch of little towns, right? Little towns, a lot of moseying. And after a while, people started going, this sucks. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to start this thing called Manhattan.
Okay.
And it's going to be nothing like moseying. It's going to be fast-paced. Things going to be popping.
Sure.
Pretty soon we're going to have a baseball team and we're going to have like really cool airports and nobody's going to talk to each other and there's going to be all kind of like violence and it's going to be a lot of fun.
So I don't want to throw your timeline off, but I think Manhattan came before all the other things.
Yeah, it kind of built around that,
Cool Manhattan. Oh, after we bought it.
Gotcha.
Because we got it on a deal, right?
Yeah. A whole like chest full of beads or something, according to the story.
No, I thought we took like a balloon payment on it.
So I guess here's what I'm wondering, and the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. There's been a lot of movement the last couple of years as homes become more expensive.
Oh,
people are looking for a different change of pace. Work from home became more common, so you don't have to be chained to this place that you're working to as close. For folks that moved from a small town to a bigger place, or from a bigger place to a small town, do you enjoy that small town lifestyle?
The change.
Or is it driving you insane? Because
we take a lot to admit that.
What, that you didn't like the change?
Right. Because if you went out there and you sunk all this money into like a country home and then it sucks, it's going to be hard to like admit that it sucks.
Well, but you may not think it sucks at first. You know what I mean? Like it might wear on you over time. It might be awesome at first. You might think like I could do this forever. And then I don't know how long it takes for the boredom, but just that slow, because you're so used to always having stuff to do. Well, and maybe get a little bored.
You got stuff to do. You can stop and talk to every person in the town.
I feel like a lot of people actually did that during COVID. Like a lot of people moved from like cities and that you know, bigger areas to places that are a little bit more isolated.
Because I think you folks in Seneca Falls can hear us. I believe that's like the line where we lose our signal.
Okay.
Like going out east, right? So like if you're out there.
Poor bastards.
Well, no, I mean like I don't know what to think. Because like the other part of it too is, my daughter has her tennis match. Her tennis team is going. And there's also a women's girls soccer game going on at the same time. And it's senior night. So they're doing the announcements. And like, you know, Becky is here with her father, Dave, and her mother. And I'm, flowers and everything, right? But like, I'm watching as this soccer game is starting. And it's a girls soccer game. And I don't mean to sound disrespectful when I say this. But Kimmy, you know, like, when it comes to like the amount of spectators sports get. It's like football, basketball, like
of the fall sports.
Like just sports in general. Like girls soccer didn't normally have like the most massive crowds. There were a ton of people in this game.
Oh, no kidding.
I was watching people just walk from their homes.
Country tennis, man.
And kids. No, the soccer game, not tennis. Oh, okay. Yeah, the one that was happening behind me. No, it was just a parents and tennis game. But like even that, I was like, this is like this is great for these kids.
So quaint. It
is. Yeah. But like, am I obligated to go to the girls' tennis game or girls' soccer game if I live in this town? Because it kind of feels like
it might be the thing you look forward to doing.
I don't want that to be my life, though. I don't want.
I think it sounds romantic.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking about movies and like It's a Wonderful Life and all that stuff, and it sounds so quaint.
Sure.
So like my old man, like his generation, the big thing was town and country. Yeah, to be rich, you had a place in town, you had a place in the country, right? So when we moved to Florida, he bought a small place out in Central Florida. And he was going to go out there, and he was going to be like this old Italian. He was going to garden and fish, and it sucked. And he also didn't fit in. Like, we moved out to this place called Okeechobee, Florida. It's in the middle of nowhere. And it was like he would go out there on the weekends and stuff. And he's an Italian, and he looks Italian, and he acts Italian. And he was around all these crackers, man. And I mean, when I talk Southern rednecks, I mean, we are talking like deep South back then. This is like the early 70s.
Ew.
He didn't fit in town. And I remember the town was pissed off because somebody had the audacity in this little town of Okeechobee of opening up A Chinese restaurant.
Wait, seriously?
I thought we took care of that during World War II, son. I'm serious. Like, those are like, this is how backwards this
man,
place
they're really
is.
Missing out.
And he's driving around in a black Cadillac. My parents are thinking they're going to go out for cocktails on a Saturday night, and he's wearing a suit.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Last night, my daughter had a tennis match at Seneca Falls. Go all the way out there. And like after her match ends, I got to hang around for a little while, mm-hmm. go to grab some caffeine. I'm driving through the small town trying to find a place, and I'm watching all these people. They're walking, and the homes are beautiful, and everyone's smiling, and everyone's stopping, and they're talking to each other for like 10, 15 minutes. And mm-hmm. this looks great. And I start driving back, and I'm realizing, like, wow, they're talking for a long time.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, I don't want it. I wouldn't want this
That's
at all.
That's a lot of chit-chat.
Yeah, it's a lot of time.
Yeah, because even if you
very inefficient. What's that?
I was going to say, even if you liked everybody, I would imagine, like, you know, sometimes you just want some peace and quiet and time to yourself. Like, you don't want to be stopped by that person that you like every single time.
But you already said what you had to say.
Yeah, like, how much
so
is there to
left?
Say? Did you see the library? Yep, still there. Going back to what you said about fitting in.
Mm.
You don't think we would fit in a small town?
No, not at all.
How do you know, man?
Look at us.
What are you talking? You would
first
fit-
of all, we're soft. We're soft boy.
Okay, no, but you love quaint.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of
you
like,
look quaint. Yeah. Like if I had to describe your outfit in one word today, it's quaint.
Like if Pittsford was a more isolated place, you would absolutely live there.
Pittsford is the rich version of Seneca Falls.
Yeah, but we have access to everything.
Okay, but you walk down the canal and you mm-hmm. start, oh, that's a beautiful dog. Yeah, thank you. It's a snickerdoodle.
And you don't really leave Pittsburgh much, so it's not like you're doing a bunch of exploring.
Yeah, shut up, bitch. This is you.
So I guess I am country.
No, you're not country. You're small town.
Yeah.
Well, that's country.
Small town, son.
I mean, small town is country. Same thing.
Well, no, I disagree. When I hear country, I think like home out in the middle
of
nowhere.
Yeah, I think like nobody around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because like there were homes.
You thought that's rural.
Yeah.
Now you talk rural.
Yeah. Okay, no, you're right. That is rural. But like I took the back way home to get to the thruway. Mm-hmm. And like there were homes like just out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, a lot of land out there.
So I'm assuming like those people like, yo, Ma, you want to go into the city of Seneca Falls for dinner this weekend?
I heard they got a Chinese restaurant.
Have they never had Chinese? Because it's delicious.
I know.
I feel like all it would take is one bite of lo mein. Yeah. And like,
by the way, it opened and it was fine.
Okay, well, obviously, who doesn't like Chinese food?
They had spring rolls and grits.
Ooh.
No, that
sounds
would be
gross.
Awful.
Yeah.
And I love grits. No, I think that everyone can fit in a small town.
I think that's the arrogance of people, though. You think you fit in. Like, you think, like, my father thought he fit in.
That's a different scenario because you have, like, the literal antithesis of where you are waltzing in, right? Mm-hmm. You got a Bronx tale walking into Deliverance. Where Seneca Falls, it's not like the people I saw last night were dressed any different than I was. It's not like they looked any different than I did. They were just people.
Okay.
I mean, you know, there are some places you go, even in some small towns in upstate New York, where if you get out of your car, everybody knows you're not from that place, right?
You look it.
I don't think Seneca Falls is one of those places, unless I'm wrong.
Well, I guess it's close enough to the bigger city, so it's kind of a bedroom community, right? There's people that live there, work in Rochester, and come in.
Do people where it's an hour away?
Well, Batavia is 45 minutes away, and that's a bedroom community for sure. We know people that live there and come in to work.
Yeah, they don't come into work, though.
Well, not anymore. Yeah.
I mean, what we know that lives in Batavia and works from home,
that's
right?
True.
I mean, like,
but we've had buddies that moved out to Batavia.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I'm never going to do it.
I mean, I'm too old to do it.
Oh, yeah, obviously. You're going to die any minute. But, like, I don't know. I would like the opportunity. Like, give me a month, like a challenge. Could I move out to a small town, and would I thrive in that small town, or would I want to, like, jump out of a window? Like, that would be, like, maybe we should, that should be, like, a vacation option. Here's 3 weeks of small town, can you handle
right.
Like a reality show.
But you run your mouth, you talk fast.
Who, me?
You think everything's a joke. You mock everything. They don't appreciate that.
How do you know?
Ain't no mocking it. Try mocking in a small town.
Bro, all they do is run their mouths. Everybody knows everybody's business.
But they don't mock.
How do you know?
They don't need your city put-downs and your fancy ways.
Fancy? 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Folks have been waiting patiently. Right. I apologize again. We're talking about small-town living because for the first half of last night, living in Seneca Falls looked wonderful.
Okay.
And then driving back through Seneca Falls, I don't want to do that at all. Let's talk to Rusty. Hey, Rusty, how are you, brother?
Good. How are y'all?
Good, man. What do you got?
So I'm one of those rural folk out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I heard y'all.
And your name's Rusty.
Yeah, so Rusty, y'all.
It's all checking the boxes, Russ.
Well, I have one neighbor that I can see their mailbox and one neighbor that I can see their house like half a mile away. I'm one of the folks that grew up in residential sort of areas, and I hated it.
Okay.
I liked my neighbors, but everything was too close. Okay. So I moved out to the country, and I absolutely love it.
But he's a rugged, independent type.
Yeah, I heat my home with wood. I skid all my own firewood with a horse. So
not even his horse. That's the most
true country.
All right, so Russ. I mean, look. Here's the thing. That sounds awesome for another reason. Like, I would also love to be isolated from everybody else, right? Like, just have my peace and quiet. Mm. But how do you
But you'd actually have to work for your heat.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to do that. But past that. I mean, Rusty, what do you do to entertain yourself? I feel like I would go nuts with boredom living in a place like that.
Well, I'm also a farrier, so I also shoe horses, and I'm an arborist by trade, so I climb trees. I travel for work a little bit, so
yeah,
I still get out.
I don't really call that traveling, Rusty. Wait, so you're a blacksmith?
Yes.
That's still a thing?
Yeah, definitely. There's tons of farriers in the area. I mean, you see horses on everybody's property half the time, so I'm the guy who takes care of their feet. So
How do you get the, is that like passed down through generations, or are you just like, hey, you know what I'm into? Horse feet.
Yeah. The good horse story.
Actually, my dad was a gearhead. He was a stock car driver. So I must have gotten bit by a horsefly or something like that and turned into a goofy blacksmith.
Okay. All right. Well, Rusty, you're quite the interesting individual, buddy. It's unfortunate that you got no one to talk to out there.
Mm. Well, thanks for letting me call in. I'll let you chat with some more odd folks.
Thank you, Rusty. Not like you, but thank you for the call. I appreciate it. There goes Russ. That's the first conversation he's had with another human being in 3 months.
Yeah, probably.
There is something that seems so nice and peaceful to, you know, kind of be on your own property and not having anybody around. But at nighttime, like, I think it would creep me out.
Oh, you'd be scared?
I think the idea of, like, nobody around really freaks me out.
Is it because we've been watching Baywatch after the show every day and just, like, weird
There's some weird stuff that happens in that show.
A lot of ghosts in Baywatch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The most valuable tool a criminal has is the element of surprise.
Oh, okay.
And this criminal had that element.
It's so, a jump on them.
Yeah, they've already got the upper hand.
All right.
I'll blow the story up front. Things did not go the way that this criminal thought it was going to go. And that's embarrassing that you blew it with the element of surprise. This story is actually way more embarrassing than just that, because it's who foiled your plan.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. So this story happened just east of us. Police say a burglar, whose age is unknown, broke into a residence just after 4 a.m. on Monday morning.
Ooh.
Police say when he broke into the residence, he came across at some point a 14-year-old kid,
okay.
A boy.
Yeah, right.
So this person is an adult because they're being charged as an adult, and they are now face-to-face with a 14-year-old boy in this home that they broke into.
Mm.
The burglar, according to police, then decided to, quote, initiate a physical confrontation.
With a 14-year-old kid.
Yes, so he is now fighting the 14-year-old in his home, and the 14-year-old, having no choice, fought back.
Mm.
After a back and forth, whatever the 14-year-old did caused the grown man burglar to flee the scene.
Oh, damn.
Eventually, a man matching the description of the suspect was spotted walking down the road. He was questioned. He was arrested. That person is facing a ton of charges, and they're more severe than they normally would be, because it turns out you get charged harder when the victim is a child.
Yeah, you assaulted a kid.
Exactly, which this 14-year-old was. But the impressive part of the scary story is this 14-year-old kid, not expecting to come across this burglar in their house at 4 in the morning, fought them off.
Yeah, held his ground.
You got it. And I'm sure this burglar saw this kid and assumed it would be no problem, only to find out quickly he was sorely mistaken. Is it embarrassing for this burglar to lose to a 14-year-old in a physical fight?
Okay, yeah. You say yeah. Yeah, I would say so.
Kimmy, would you agree?
Yeah. We don't. Wait, what's the age of the burglar?
We do not have an age of the burglar, but they're being charged as an adult.
But they're grown ass.
They are a grown-ass person, it seems. All right.
And you had the element of surprise.
You did.
Yeah.
And you were not really prepared after that.
No. Like they took out, they put down their Pokemon cards, and they turned off their Netflix, and they kicked your ass. Mm-hmm. All right. So with that being said, let's take the element of surprise out of it. Phone numbers 252-WCMF, 252-9263, because you both say you should be embarrassed at a 14-year-old kicker.
You lost to a 14-year-old in sleepwear.
Well, no. I mean, you can get your leg pretty high in pajama pants.
I guess.
Yeah, very stretchy.
Yeah. Do you think you could take a 14-year-old?
No, you're telling me. These kids are, like, huge now.
Okay, so then why?
So then why would it be embarrassing?
But I'm a puny man.
Okay.
Like, if I'm not a normal size man. Okay. So, no, I never have been.
I understand. So, I understand that you cannot answer this question because of, you know, your limitations.
Yes.
Also, because from a distance, you kind of look like an eighth grader.
Right, and that's not a fair fight.
Yeah, and that joke sucks. So
keeps coming back.
All right, so the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. And I want you to think about this if you can hear us. If for whatever reason you are in a physical altercation with a freshman in high school, Tommy, what percentage of men over 30 do you think would win that fight?
All of them.
Wait,
I would love to see a Jeff Foxworthy new game show. Are you stronger than a 14-year-old?
Oh, wait, no. You think a 14-year-old would kick every man's ass over 30? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying every man thinks he can kick every kid's ass. I'm sorry. Maybe I understand.
Yeah, no. I may have misspoke. What percentage do you think could actually kick a 14-year-old's ass over 30? Give me a ballpark.
So the 30-year-old had to be the 14-year-old.
Yes.
In actuality.
In a hypothetical situation.
I think if it goes long, the 14-year-old is going to have the upper hand.
Oh. They're going to have the
stamina.
Yeah.
So you're saying the strength belongs to the man over 30, the stamina belongs to the
man. Oh, absolutely.
If it's a short fight, you give the upper hand to the older person.
All right, so you're saying...
But if you start Ali-ing it, man moving around the ring and mocking him...
So if the 14-year-old works his jab and rope-a-dopes a little bit, he's got a shot to take him in the later rounds.
Because you know most men have no stamina after a certain age.
Yeah, it is funny. I mean, if you've never been in a fight before, people underestimate how physically taxing a fight is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and chances are if you're over 30, you haven't gotten into a fight in a while.
You haven't exerted yourself in a while.
Whereas like maybe a 14-year-old kid, if you have siblings, you've been in fights. There are no rules when you're 14 either.
Okay.
Like I'd be worried about like, you know, the...
You think a 14-year-old's going to fight dirty?
Yeah.
Why not?
I guess 14-year-old that feels threatened, I would guess that they are more likely to resort to the worst possible thing.
Okay, and in this situation where your life is literally maybe at stake, I don't blame a 14-year-old for fighting dirty, but let's say it's a fair fight, it's set up for whatever reason, the national sanctioning governing body of 14-year-old versus adults sanctions the fight. What percentage of men over 30 do you think win that fight?
I think that 30 would probably win most of those matches, but there'd be some surprise upsets. I'm going to say 30% would be upsets.
Okay. Because like 14 for boys is a weird age.
Mm-hmm.
There are some 14-year-olds that look 10, and there are some 14-year-olds that look 21.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point you just made, kids keep getting bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, Tommy, I pick up my daughter from tennis after school every day. And as I do that, the football team is always walking by finishing practice. Now, I was a big-ass kid.
Yeah. But you were a freak in school.
Thank you.
No, but you were.
Oh, yeah. That was harsh.
You were freakishly large for your age.
Yeah.
In the day.
Yeah.
You were like a big doofus. I was there, bro.
I don't think a big doofus standing next to you. Like, if in a picture...
Oh, it's my fault. Doofus showed up in your birth.
If in a picture, like, you were viewed as the standard size man, I look like a big doofus, not because you look like a human mushroom.
But isn't it even on your birth certificate? It says doofus.
Pat Doofus Duffy.
What the hell? He's pointing at her. Yeah, we're just together.
Run the high ropes.
But do you think even you as a 14-year-old kid, yes, you were a bigger kid, but you were also more active. Like, do you think your stamina now is better than it was when you were 14?
That's a good question. I don't know, because I was playing sports at 14.
Right, that's what I mean.
But kids can just go and go and go.
Yeah,
they don't even
realize. More adrenaline, I think.
They don't even realize they've hit tired yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point.
So you were saying like you were watching all the young men walk by.
Yeah. In their tight football pants. Yes. Yeah. No, like, I mean, these kids walk by and like half of them are bigger than I am. And I'm a grown man who's already a big man.
And these are teenagers.
And these are 14, 15, 16-year-old kids. They are horrifyingly large children.
So this 14-year-old could be a big kid.
Possibly. But even at that, I mean, I'm assuming, again, going back to the story happened just east of us, 4 a.m. Monday morning, a burglar breaks into a home at 4, like I said, 4 o'clock in the morning, comes across a 14-year-old kid and attacks the kid. The kid fought him off. The burglar ends up fleeing, gets caught later, arrested, facing a whole bunch of charges. I would assume if the burglar decided to physically engage them, he wasn't intimidated by this kid.
Right.
Until the kid showed him what he had.
It was too late.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, there are dads listening right now that could have had this exact scenario play out, because 14 is the age where if there is going to be that traditional physical altercation between dad and son,
the challenge,
it starts.
Yeah.
It starts at 14. And I know there are dads who locked in, locked up, locked horns with their 14, 15, 16-year-old sons, who then in the heat of the moment realize, like, wow, this kid got pretty strong.
Yeah, sure did. Should have bought him all that milk.
Because, like, I mean, I had that moment with my dad when I was a teenager. I'm sure, Kimmy, it happened between your dad and your brother.
Yeah, right. It's probably around high school, like, once you get in, take that step.
And, like, I know you've never really been in a fight. You just had your ass kicked a couple of times.
Many times.
Like, there was that time where...
more than I want to count.
There was that time where the guy robbed you and you peed your pants.
Again, keeps coming back.
No, I'm just saying, like you were in charge of like the store, and the guy broke in, and he was like, "Give me all the money," and you immediately peed your pants.
But from a distance, it looked okay because I was like, you know, an eighth grader peeing his pants.
Even an eighth grader peeing his pants in that moment, I would have to make fun of to his face. Even that. But like, I vividly remember this physical altercation. It's the only one I ever got in with my dad. Right.
But your father's a big man.
He's a big dude, 6'4", and with the spiky hair.
And he's trained.
Like 6'6". Yeah. But I mean, at that point, you know.
Go on.
Well, no, I'm saying if there was a cat stuck in a tree, that cat lived in the tree. You get what I'm saying, right? Like, I mean, they call the cops for that. That's a tree cat now. What I'm getting at is, I think as a father, you always look at your kids as your kids. You don't fully realize how big your kids have gotten.
Well, they're frozen in time, I guess, a little bit.
And I remember, like, when I was locked up with my dad in that moment, I could feel him. He didn't say it.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, he didn't.
You just had a feeling.
I could feel him realize, like, uh-oh. And like, it never got to the point where he like threw an actual punch. And maybe it's because he realized that it was more of a fair fight than he thought it was going to be. Maybe it's because he realized I was his son and he loved me. Maybe cooler heads prevailed. I don't know. But I could feel it. Like, and then all of a sudden, like, I felt him like go, oh. Like, yeah, I like that. I like me now. Weight room over the summer. Make you football rules. I don't know. Like, when that lion cub all of a sudden grows into the king of the jungle in your home, that's got to be a really weird moment, too, as a father.
It's not a fun one.
Like, what do you do when you realize, like, if I fought my kid, if I had to fight my kid, I'm not going to win 100% of the time?
Do you think all dads come to that realization?
They'll never say it out loud, but I think they do.
You think?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You think, though, that they would admit it even to themselves?
To themselves, yes.
Okay.
Well, because, look, part of being a badass is also not putting yourself in a situation where you won't look like a badass.
Sure.
Pick your spots, baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, like, I mean, Tommy has never been in a physical fight because he's going to lose, right? He can run his mouth and pretend he's tough on the radio. You're a big daddy, put my foot down. But if he were to...
See these shoes?
Yeah, you go bowling?
Yeah.
You get a fight at bowling alley?
That's how you put your foot down.
Tonight, there's going to be a jailbreak.
We're going bowling.
There's some kids, though, that never, like, outgrow their dad. You know what I mean? Like, their dad is always the bigger, stronger person. So do you think, like, even those dads have some kind of realization that, like... You know, they would lose.
That's
in a
good
fight?
Question. I will say this. Never underestimate the wiriness and the inner turmoil of a teenage boy.
Right. Because they're all wired up in testosterone and badass.
Yeah. Like, I think even the softest boy can land a lucky punch or, like, pull a lucky something out of his sleeve, and all of a sudden you just got your ass kicked not only by your son, but your weak son.
I was surprised because, you know, I went to that military school for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of challenging. Because, like, all our teachers... were mostly retired military guys.
Okay.
And they were like World War II, early Korea, tough guys. They're chain smokers, they had crew cuts, and they never smiled. And I always remember like when kids challenged those guys, like a couple guys did, and how fast those kids got put down.
Oh, really?
Like in class.
No kidding.
And we had this one big, fat, loudmouth Southern kid named, and he had the perfect name for a Southern a-hole. Lang Allen.
Ooh.
And he was from a rich family, and his brother went there before that, so it was like some legacy there, and he thought he owned the school, and this old science teacher basically yanked him out of his chair, threw him onto the ground, and then dragged him out of the class. And he never dropped his cigarette.
Damn.
Because these guys smoked in class, and like everybody like that just went, okay, yeah, well, go back to the planets. There, we're fine. Like, you know, everybody was petrified of this teacher.
You know, to you telling us these stories about military school, no wonder you're the damaged goods that you are, man.
But, like, that kid challenged him, yeah, and it went horribly wrong in front of the class.
All right, so maybe we're overestimating how many 14-year-olds would kick the ass of men over 30.
But you just got to make an example out of that kid once.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
I think that kid will fall in line.
Yeah, that's a good call.
So you got to get him young.
You want to try that again?
No, but, I mean, you can't
keep
wait till
him humble.
You got to wait till he gets too grown ass.
252 WCMF. You know, we're talking about the dad son thing.
Yeah.
Trent's on CMF. Hey, Trent, how you been, buddy?
Long time no hear.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, my son is 18 years old and he's 6'3".
Ooh.
That weighs me. Since I talked to you last, I lost 100 pounds.
Hey, congrats, buddy.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
He's, you know, he's doing diet barbecue.
no diet barbecue.
All right, so Trent, you've lost 100 pounds. Congratulations. Your son is now 6'3 and outweighs you. If push came to shove, literally and figuratively, in your living room with your son, God forbid, right? Do you think you could take your son right now?
Yeah, with my stun gun.
Hey, don't stun gun your son.
No weapons.
Put that on a t-shirt. But like, if it was just fisticuffs, your son's got you?
No.
All right, Trent.
He's actually afraid of me.
Say that again?
He's afraid of me.
Oh, he is afraid of you. All right. No, because, like, here's the thing. I will say this from personal experience, Trent, and I don't know if you had this experience with your dad when you were growing up. When that heat of the moment happened, I was still afraid of my dad. I just wasn't going to back down.
Right.
Like, I was ready to, like, okay, I'll get my ass kicked. I'm just going to show him I'm
gonna
a man.
You're going
to
go down swinging.
I'm a man! Thank you for my rules!
My father was a 5'7 Cuban, and he whooped my ass.
Well, those Cuban fighters.
Oh, yeah. That island knows how to box.
Cagey. All right, well, Trent, hey, buddy, congrats on the 100-pound weight loss, man. Good to talk to you.
No problem.
All right, take care. There goes Diet Barbecue Trent.
Not as funny anymore than that. He's not fat.
Now you sound like everybody that writes me Facebook messages.
Maybe. Like, he lost his humor.
The guy hasn't called in a year. Will you give,
that's
him,
why.
Will you give the man a break? He's got to warm himself back up again. And he doesn't have that delicious scent of barbecue sauce on his
face.
Have
a ham and biscuit, man.
Have a ham and biscuit.
Who doesn't want a ham and biscuit?
Man, I'm going to miss talking barbecue with Trent. Guy had some good barbecue tips. This was going to be the signing that put a great Bills team over the top.
Yeah.
And when they made this deal, it was massive.
Mm-hmm.
But since Thanksgiving 2 years ago, it's been a problem both on and off the field. And yesterday came down the punishment for what everyone believes are allegations that have been circling last season. But here's the thing.
What's that?
That's not rock solid right now.
Oh, the allegations or why he's being disciplined.
Yes.
Gotcha.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Yesterday, it was announced that Bills linebacker Von Miller will be suspended for the next 4 games, effective immediately. He's being suspended under the NFL's personal conduct policy, meaning he's suspended without pay, and he'll be forfeiting over $300,000 per game over the next 4. So, there were reports out, and if you read the reports, they're written interestingly.
All right, a little vague.
Well, here's the thing. All the reports say it's believed the suspension stems from the allegations of domestic violence against his pregnant girlfriend last season. Mm. And if you read the details of those allegations from the police report, where it was being investigated, they are very hard to read. Mm. And we have talked about them enough already on the show. So if you're one of these people that does not know, go Google it.
Almost exactly a year ago.
You got it. But here's the thing.
What's the deal?
Tim Graham, he writes for The Athletic. He is a very good writer, and he's very plugged into the inner workings of the Bills. According to him, the Bills still do not know for sure why he's been suspended.
So the NFL didn't give him a rock-solid reason while I'm pulling your player up?
Yeah, it kind of seems like they haven't clarified why. Yeah.
Now, it's possible it's for the for what happened, the allegations last season.
Right.
But again, the Bills have told Tim Graham, they do not know. They do not know what the reason is. So, it's not out of the question, I guess until this is all cleared up, that there's something else that he's been suspended for.
That we don't know about.
It's
that has not broke.
Now, here's the thing. We don't know that, but we also don't know this is rock solid. So, just something to keep in mind until we get a definite word from the Bills and the NFL what this is for. And here's what's interesting. When the allegations first surfaced last year, you remember the Bills came out in full support of Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He did not miss a game.
Yeah.
And from that moment, Von Miller insisted that the allegations were overblown and this is not what it seemed. If the suspension is for that, the NFL disagrees. And it is important to point out before we get the phone calls, suspensions under the personal conduct policy in the NFL don't need a conviction. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, they go at their own discretion.
All right.
They do their own separate investigation, pass law enforcement. In fact, they employ a team of investigators, a lot of them former FBI employees. Mm-hmm. And whatever they found, wherever they found it, they felt that they
didn't like it.
They needed to take action. Mm-hmm. So with all that being said,
right.
Phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Would you call the Von Miller signing a disaster?
It's kind of been...
Yeah, because it didn't pan out.
So like,
and now you're stuck with this.
Before we even have the discussion, I mean, it's complicated because you're forced to compare on-field performance with disgusting allegations, which doesn't totally seem right. And like, the first... There were... things were fantastic in the beginning of the first year in that deal. And then he rips his knee up on Thanksgiving in Detroit in that first year. They signed him to compete against Kansas City in the playoffs. He never got that chance as the Von Miller that you signed him as.
Yeah.
He was a shell of himself last season. They didn't suspend him for the allegations, but he was a healthy scratch at one point late in the year. And then, of course, the alleged incident off the field.
And he never got over the Kansas City hump.
Well, at least haven't yet.
But yeah. And now this. So, yeah. And when's his contract up? How much more you got?
So the Bills have an out in his contract at the end of this year.
Right.
So he is most likely gone by the end of the year, whether or not the suspension.
I can't see why you'd keep him.
Yeah, I mean he's going to be too expensive to keep anyway.
Yeah, I don't. It definitely didn't pan out, you know, the way they thought it was. He hasn't pushed this team over the edge in any way, in my opinion. You know, like I think he's a player that you could have done without and still had the same success. So disaster. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but it definitely didn't pan out the way you thought it would.
And there were a lot of people on social media yesterday defending the Bills front office, saying, you know, you couldn't have seen this coming. Nobody saw this coming, the injury or the off-the-field allegations. And that's actually not entirely true.
Oh, really?
So it turns out we discovered after these allegations surfaced last year that Von Miller had previously been investigated for domestic violence while playing for the Broncos. But charges were never filed, and the police department that did the allegations never made them public. So you didn't have the details of the allegations, and again, they're allegations, but it's not like the Bills front office weren't aware that something had happened in the past. Mm-hmm. So you don't even have the ability to say, you know...
There's something in the air, but you don't know.
Yeah.
I also don't know... and maybe like people have talked about this and I've just missed it, but it doesn't seem like he's like the, I guess like leader that you thought he would be. I don't know how much influence he has on these younger guys that have really, go ahead.
Well, I mean, as far as football goes, Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa
have come out and said. I always just kind of picture him as like this kind of like lone wolf kind of guy that does his own thing. Because, you know, I mean, he's talked about like, you know, just like the weird stuff he's into and stuff that he does off the field. It always kind of seemed like to me, like, you know, yes, he's there as a veteran presence, but I don't know how much influence he has on those younger guys.
No, I mean, a lot of the younger defensive ends have said their games have taken a step forward because of Von Miller.
I stand corrected.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Von Miller suspended for 4 games, effective immediately by the NFL. He's going to lose out on, over $300,000 per game. So I think it's somewhere around 1.5 mil for the 4-game suspension.
But that's not going to hurt him.
No, obviously. The other interesting part of this, though, is in the offseason, Von Miller took a voluntary pay cut.
To keep the cap down?
Yeah. And, like, there were no concessions. Like, he didn't get a bonus for it. There wasn't years added to his contract. He just took a voluntary pay cut. And people around the league had said, we'd never seen this before. This is a guy that wants success for his team. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the ideal scenario.
Team guy.
It's also possible that he was aware a suspension was coming, and less money means less money you're losing on a suspension.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't going to hurt.
Oh, so strategically.
I'm just thinking out loud here, trying to figure out why no one had ever done that before, then all of a sudden this pops up. By the way, the Bills also said they did not know this was coming down. They were blindsided by the suspension, period, let alone not knowing what it was for up to this moment.
It was weird timing of it all. I think a lot of people had some questions.
But you think like the league would have told Pegula, hey, this is happening.
The investigation?
The owner.
Oh, like that it's coming?
Well, yeah. I mean.
Well, we knew they were doing an investigation.
He basically owns this commission. You think they give the guy a heads up and they don't say anything?
Well, here's the problem. I mean, you start to run into ethical questions because if you tell a billionaire that they're doing an investigation into his player, and they probably knew already, but like those people have the means to go and potentially mess with an investigation.
But billionaires are always really good people. That's why God gives them all that money, because they're nice.
Look, man, I don't know why the NFL does it this way, but I'm sure there's a reason based on things that have happened in the past that they do it this way, right?
But, you know, again, like, it doesn't impact the team really too much on the field because he hasn't been that great.
This season he has been playing better.
A little bit, but not that still. That matters.
Well, no, he was on a 3-game sack streak up until last week. I mean, and again, it feels icky. And I know that's an understatement to, like, talk about, well, you're on the field production versus the despicable
allegations. That's how they look at it.
He's also a strange cat, strange guy. Not just for the triangle haircut, not just for the unique things he's into. Everything he says is wrong.
What do you mean?
Well, he said that Odell Beckham Jr. 100% was going to sign with the Bills.
He does make these weird statements having no actual knowledge of the situation.
But he brings up the Odell Beckham thing. That never happens. Yeah. Then DeAndre Hopkins, last year I talked to him, he's going to sign with the Bills. That doesn't even come close to happening. He then comes out and says that the allegations are overblown and it's not what you think it is, and now he has a 4-game suspension here. Like, he feels very free to speak his mind and make very specific statements, none of which have yet to come true in Buffalo. And, like, they also paid him a lot of money.
For sure. He was a superstar.
Kimmy, can you pull up what the initial contract was for Von Miller? And no matter which way you look at it, on the field or off the field, it was a bad investment. Like, on the field, you got, what, 10 games of full production Von Miller? Last year, you got nothing. Mm-hmm. And this year, he's missing at least 4 games. And he's going to have to answer for this. Like, he's going to have to sit in front of press and answer for the suspension when he gets back, which is going to make things more complicated. Kimmy, the original contract was?
If this is the original contract, $120 million for 6 years?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah. Oh,
plus, you went Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, by the way, there may still be players. You could have signed one of the 7 guys, core Bills players they had to release in the offseason if you didn't sign Von Miller to that contract.
Oh, so you could have kept...
There could have been some guys hanging around. Your Mitch Morris, your Gabe Davis, your Tre'Davious White, your Micah Hyde, your Jordan Poyer.
That much.
Well, not all of them. I'm saying one or two of those guys would still be on
this. May have been a little bit more room there.
$100 million.
$120 million, yeah.
That's the second $100 million guy that's gone bust on your ass.
Who's the first?
Who's the guy with all the gadgets?
Okay, here's the thing. You're bringing up Mario Williams, defensive end. This is a common misconception. Mario Williams played his contract. The value they got for the contract was worth it. If you go back and look at the numbers, he did his job.
All right.
You just hate him because he was weird.
He was really weird.
The team was bad. Yeah. He did his thing. I mean, the numbers were there.
All right.
The fact that it was so high profile somehow makes it worse, too, because, like, when Von Miller signed with the Bills, because he was a free agent, he could have signed anywhere he wanted, it was a sign of the Bills being a team that big-name free agents wanted to sign with.
And people want to come to Buffalo.
Yes, and that was an investment.
He was bait for other players.
Yeah, and it worked.
Did it.
I mean, like, not your superstars, but, like, other guys like your Leonard Floyd's last year, who ends up leading the Bills in sacks. Guys like DaQuan Jones, right? Defensive tackle. Well, yeah, because he got offered more money. So, but the point I'm making is, like,
I don't think it brought in the superstar power you thought it would, though. Because, like I said, I think we thought, even based on what he was saying, he was good buddies with Odell Beckham Jr. And why wouldn't these guys want to come play DeAndre Hopkins? Like, I know those guys are going to come play with me because I'm going to tell them how great Buffalo is.
Look, I get what you're saying. Yeah. You didn't get the marquee names. Yeah. But there were guys that came and signed here because Von Miller was here. And those guys were legitimate contributors to that team last year.
Yeah, but if he didn't blow his knee out, right, and he played a full season and he was really productive, I think he would have
been that guy that
would have drawn other players that want to come to the team.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, it's one of those... I mean, it's not even a what-if, because the allegations aren't a what-if, right?
Right.
I mean, like, the suspension is here. I don't know.
But it's definitely a bust now.
I would think so. Unless
he comes up big here in, like, the second half of the season.
You've got to really come up big.
Yeah.
But again,
outshadow all of that other stuff.
But if he comes up with one big game-changing play in a playoff situation, is it worth it then?
I'm the wrong guy to ask, because you know how I feel about trying to separate the person. We had that Pete Rose conversation yesterday. I have a hard time separating the person in terms of the signing
and what you hoped he would do.
A game-changing sack that gets him into the championship.
Ends a game or...
I don't know.
But that's not going to happen.
I mean, it's not out of the
question. I think it only takes one play for people to say that wasn't a bust.
That could be one hell of a play.
I mean... It's happened in the NFL before.
Yeah. Right.
Right? I mean...
But he's old.
Yeah.
He's carrying a lot of baggage now.
Look, the odds are low.
Way low.
So I guess we wait for official confirmation from the NFL for what the suspension is for. And
do we ever find out, or sometimes they just bury it?
I'm sure somebody, some insider's going to get it.
Oh, they're going to, people are asking, people want to know.
Yeah, they're going to have
beyond the allegations that are already hanging.
If there's something else, because it could be for the allegations.
Because you can't keep anything quiet anymore.
I mean, people seem to have forgotten about the allegations from last year.
No, but like they say, like there's something else out there. Like you would think somebody would know something by now.
You say that, but nobody in Buffalo, we didn't know about the initial allegations that happened out in Denver. We were blindsided by those.
But the other stuff we knew about as soon as it happened.
Yes.
Down in Miami or something, right?
I thought it was in Texas.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Oh, Dallas.
That's where he's from.
Yeah, it's Miami, Texas.
Yeah, you got it. Nailed it. This was going to be the signing that put a great Bills team over the top.
Yeah.
And when they made this deal, it was massive.
Mm-hmm.
But since Thanksgiving 2 years ago, it's been a problem both on and off the field. And yesterday came down the punishment for what everyone believes are allegations that have been circling last season. But here's the thing.
What's that?
That's not rock solid right now.
Oh, the allegations or why he's being disciplined.
Yes.
Gotcha.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. Yesterday, it was announced that Bills linebacker Von Miller will be suspended for the next 4 games, effective immediately. He's being suspended under the NFL's personal conduct policy, meaning he's suspended without pay, and he'll be forfeiting over $300,000 per game over the next 4. So, there were reports out, and if you read the reports, they're written interestingly.
All right, a little vague.
Well, here's the thing. All the reports say it's believed the suspension stems from the allegations of domestic violence against his pregnant girlfriend last season. Mm. And if you read the details of those allegations from the police report, where it was being investigated, they are very hard to read. Mm. And we have talked about them enough already on this show. So if you're one of these people that does not know, go Google it.
Almost exactly a year ago.
You got it. But here's the thing.
What's the deal?
Tim Graham, he writes for The Athletic. He is a very good writer, and he's very plugged into the inner workings of the Bills. According to him, the Bills still do not know for sure why he's been suspended.
So the NFL didn't give him a rock-solid reason while I'm pulling your player up?
Yeah. It kind of seems like they haven't clarified why. Yeah.
Now, it's possible it's for the for what happened, the allegations last season. Right. But again, the Bills have told Tim Graham, they do not know. They do not know what the reason is. So, it's not out of the question, I guess until this is all cleared up, that there's something else that he's been suspended for.
That we don't know about. It's possible. That broke.
Now, here's the thing. We don't know that, but we also don't know this is rock solid. So, just something to keep in mind until we get a definite word from the Bills and the NFL what this is for. And here's what's interesting. When the allegations first surfaced last year, you remember the Bills came out in full support of Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He did not miss a game.
Yeah.
And from that moment, Von Miller insisted that the allegations were overblown, and this is not what it seemed. If the suspension is for that, the NFL disagrees. And it is important to point out before we get the phone calls, suspensions under the personal conduct policy in the NFL don't need a conviction. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, they go at their own discretion.
All right.
They do their own separate investigation, pass law enforcement. In fact, they employ a team of investigators, a lot of them former FBI employees. Mm-hmm. And whatever they found, wherever they found it, they felt that
they didn't like it.
They needed to take action. Mm-hmm. So with all that being said, phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Would you call the Von Miller signing a disaster?
It's kind of been...
Yeah. Because it didn't pan out.
So like,
and now you're stuck with this.
Before we even have the discussion, I mean, it's complicated because you're forced to compare on-field performance with disgusting allegations, which doesn't totally seem right. And like, things were fantastic in the beginning of the first year in that deal. And then he rips his knee up on Thanksgiving in Detroit in that first year. They signed him to compete against Kansas City in the playoffs. He never got that chance as the Von Miller that you signed him as.
Yeah.
He was a shell of himself last season. They didn't suspend him for the allegations, but he was a healthy scratch at one point late in the year. And then, of course, the alleged incident off the field.
And he never got over the Kansas City hump.
Well, at least haven't yet.
But and now this. So,
yeah.
And when's his contract up? How much more you got?
So the Bills have an out in his contract at the end of this year.
All right.
So he is most likely gone by the end of the year, whether or not the suspension.
I can't see why you'd keep him.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be too expensive to keep anyway.
Yeah, it definitely didn't pan out, you know, the way they thought it was. He hasn't pushed this team over the edge in any way, in my opinion. You know, like, I think he's a player that you could have done without and still had the same success. So, disaster, I don't know if that's the right word for it, but it definitely didn't pan out the way you thought it would.
And there were a lot of people on social media yesterday defending the Bills front office, saying, you know, you couldn't have seen this coming. Nobody saw this coming, the injury or the off-the-field allegations. And that's actually not entirely true.
Oh, really?
So it turns out we discovered after these allegations surfaced last year that Von Miller had previously been investigated for domestic violence while playing for the Broncos. But charges were never filed, okay. And the police department that did the allegations never made them public. So you didn't have the details of the allegations, and again, they're allegations, but it's not like the Bills front office weren't aware that something had happened in the past. So you don't even have the ability to say, you know,
there's something in the air, but you don't know.
Yeah.
I also don't know. And maybe like there have people have talked about this and I've just missed it, but it doesn't seem like he's like the, I guess, like leader that you thought he would be. I don't know how much influence he has on the these younger guys that have really. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, as far as football goes,
yeah.
Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa have come out and said,
I always just kind of picture him as like this kind of like lone wolf kind of guy that does his own thing. Because, you know, I mean, he's talked about like, you know, just like the weird stuff he's into and stuff that he does off the field. It always kind of seemed like to me, like, you know, yes, he's there as a veteran presence, but I don't know how much influence he has on those younger guys.
No, the guy, I mean, a lot of the younger defensive ends have said their games have taken a step forward because of Von Miller.
I stand corrected.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Von Miller suspended for 4 games, effective immediately by the NFL. He's going to lose out on, over $300,000 per game. So I think it's somewhere around $1.5 million for the 4-game suspension.
But
the
that's not going to hurt him.
No, obviously. The other interesting part of this, though, is in the offseason, Von Miller took a voluntary pay cut.
To stay, to keep the cap down?
Yeah. And, like, there were no concessions. Like, he didn't get a bonus for it. There wasn't years added to his contract. He just took a voluntary pay cut. And people around the league had said, we'd never seen this before. This is a guy that wants success for his team. And I guess that's the ideal scenario.
Team guy.
It's also possible that he was aware a suspension was coming, and less money means less money you're losing on a suspension.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't going to hurt.
Oh, so strategically.
I'm just thinking out loud here, trying to figure out why no one had ever done that before, then all of a sudden this pops up. By the way, the Bills also said they did not know this was coming down. They were blindsided by the suspension, period, let alone not knowing what it was for up to this moment.
It was weird timing of it all. I think a lot of people had some questions.
But you think like the league would have told Pegula, hey, this is happening.
The investigation?
The owner.
Oh, like that it's coming?
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, we knew they were doing
an investigation. He basically owns this commission. You think they give the guy a heads up and they don't say anything?
Well, here's the problem. I mean, you start to run into ethical questions because if you tell a billionaire that they're doing an investigation into his player, and they probably knew already, but like those people have the means to go and potentially mess with an investigation.
But billionaires are always really good people. That's why God gives them all that money, because they're nice.
Look, man, I don't know why the NFL does it this way, but I'm sure there's a reason based on things that have happened in the past that they do it this way, right?
But again, like, it doesn't impact the team really too much on the field because he hasn't been that great.
This season he has been playing better.
A little bit, but
not that
still.
That matters. Well, no, he was on a 3-game sack streak up until last week. I mean, and again, it feels icky. Yeah. And I know that's an understatement to like talk about, well, you're on the field production versus the despicable
allegations.
That's
how they look at it.
He's also a strange cat, strange guy. Not just for the triangle haircut, not just for the unique things he's into. Everything he says is wrong.
Well,
he said that Odell Beckham Jr. 100% was going to sign with the Bills.
He does make these weird statements having no actual knowledge of the situation.
But he brings up the Odell Beckham thing. That never happens. Yeah. Then DeAndre Hopkins last year, I talked to him. He's going to sign with the Bills. That doesn't even come close to happening. He then comes out and says that the allegations are overblown and it's not what you think it is. And now he has a 4-game suspension here. Like, he feels very free to speak his mind and make very specific statements. None of which have yet to come true in Buffalo. And, like, they also paid him a lot of money.
For sure. He was a superstar.
Kimmy, can you pull up what the initial contract was for Von Miller? And no matter which way you look at it, on the field or off the field, it was a bad investment. Like, on the field, you got, what, 10 games of full production Von Miller? Last year, you got nothing. Mm-hmm. And this year, he's missing at least 4 games. And he's going to have to answer for this. Like, he's going to have to sit in front of press and answer for the suspension when he gets back, which is going to make things more complicated. Kimmy, the original contract was?
If this is the original contract, $120 million for 6 years?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Plus, he went Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, by the way, there may still be players. You could have signed one of the seven guys, core Bills players they had to release in the offseason if you didn't sign Von Miller to that contract.
Oh, so you could have kept...
There could have been some guys hanging around. Your Mitch Morris, your Gabe Davis, your Tre'Davious White, your Micah Hyde, your Jordan Poyer.
That much.
Well, not all of them. I'm saying like one or two of those guys would
may
still
have been
be
a little
on
bit more room there.
$100 million.
$120 million, yeah.
That's the second $100 million guy that's gone bust on your ass.
Who's the first?
Who's the guy with all the gadgets?
Okay, here's the thing. You're bringing up Mario Williams' defensive end. This is a common misconception. Mario Williams played his contract. The value they got for the contract was worth it. If you go back and look at the numbers, he did his job.
All right.
You just hate him because he was weird.
He was really weird.
The team was bad. Yeah. He did his thing. The numbers were there.
All right.
The fact that it was so high profile somehow makes it worse, too, because like when Von Miller signed with the Bills, because he was a free agent, he could have signed anywhere he wanted, it was a sign of the Bills being a team that big-name free agents wanted to sign with.
And people want to come to Buffalo.
Yes, and that was an investment.
He was bait for other players.
Yeah, and it worked.
Did it.
I mean, like, not your superstars, but like other guys like your Leonard Floyd's last year, who ends up leading the Bills in sacks. Guys like DaQuan Jones, right? Defensive tackle. Well, yeah, because he got offered more money. So, but the point I'm making is like...
I don't think it brought in the superstar power you thought it would, though. Because like I said, I think we thought, even based on what he was saying, he was good buddies with Odell Beckham Jr. And why wouldn't these guys want to come play DeAndre Hopkins? Like, I know those guys are going to come play with me because I'm going to tell them how great Buffalo is.
Look, I get what you're saying. Yeah. You didn't get the marquee names. Yeah. But there were guys that came and signed here because Von Miller was here. And those guys were legitimate contributors to that team last year.
Yeah, but if he didn't blow his knee out, right, and he played a full season and he was really productive, I think he would have
been that guy that would have drawn
other players that want to come to the team.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, it's one of those... I mean, it's not even a what if, because the allegations aren't a what if, right?
Right.
I mean, like, the suspension is here. I don't know.
But it's definitely a bust now.
I would think so. Unless
he comes up big here in, like, the second half of the season.
You've got to really come up big.
Yeah.
But again,
if he comes up with
one big game-changing play in a playoff situation, is it worth it then?
I'm the wrong guy to ask, because you know how I feel about trying to separate the person. We had that Pete Rose conversation yesterday. I have a hard time separating the person in terms of the signing
and what you hoped he would do.
I don't know.
Like a game-changing sack that gets him into
like
the championship.
I don't know.
But that's not going to happen.
I mean, it's not out of the
question. I think it only takes one play for people to say that wasn't a bust.
That'd be one hell of a play.
I mean, it's happened in the NFL before.
Yeah. Right.
Right? I mean.
But he's old.
Yeah.
He's carrying a lot of baggage now.
Look, the odds are low.
Way low.
So I guess we wait for official confirmation from the NFL for what the suspension is for. And
do we ever find out, or sometimes they just bury it?
I'm sure some insider is going to get it.
People want to know.
Yeah, they're going to have
beyond the allegations
that are
already hanging.
If there's something else, because it could be for the allegations.
Because you can't keep anything quiet anymore.
I mean, people seem to have forgotten about the allegations from last year.
No, but like to say like there's something else out there, like you would think somebody would know something by now.
You say that, but nobody in Buffalo, we didn't know about the initial allegations that happened out in Denver. We were blindsided by those.
But the other stuff we knew about as soon as it happened.
Yes,
down in Miami or something, right?
I thought it was in Texas.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Oh, Dallas.
That's where he's from.
Yeah, it's Miami, Texas.
Yeah, you got it. Nailed it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.